You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I am Ron Barnes, pastor of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the heart area of Prince George. I'm glad you could join with us today. Today's message is entitled Overcoming Obstacles to Christ, and is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. But before the message, I would like to read from Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. The text is John 3, verse 7. Ye must be born again. Regeneration is a subject which lies at the very basis of salvation, and we should be very diligent to take heed that we really are born again, for there are many who fancy they are who are not. Be assured that the name of a Christian is not the nature of a Christian, and that being born in a Christian land and being recognized as professing the Christian religion is of no avail whatever unless there be something more added to it, the being born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. To be born again is a matter so mysterious that human words cannot describe it. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nevertheless, it is a change which is known and felt, known by works of holiness, and felt by a gracious experience. This great work is supernatural. It is not an operation which a man performs for himself. A new principle is infused, which works in the heart, renews the soul, and affects the entire man. It is not a change of my name, but a renewal of my nature, so that I am not the man I used to be, but a new man in Christ Jesus. To wash and dress a corpse is a far different thing from making it alive. Man can do the one, God alone can do the other. If you have then been born again, your acknowledgement will be, O Lord Jesus, the everlasting Father, thou art my spiritual parent. Unless thy Spirit hath breathed into me the breath of a new, holy, and spiritual life, I had been to this day dead in trespasses and sins. My heavenly life is wholly derived from thee. To thee I ascribe it. My life is hid with Christ in God. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. May the Lord enable us to be well assured on this vital point, for to be unregenerate is to be unsaved, unpardoned, without God, and without hope. Our hymn for today is Be Thou Exalted.
Thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days, wondrous in majesty, so mighty in wisdom, perfect in holiness and worthy of praise. Be thou exalted, thy seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted, with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems, of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted, O Son of the Highest,
gracious Redeemer, our Savior and King, one with the Father, co-equal in glory, here at thy footstool, our homage we bring. Be thou exalted, O Spirit eternal, dwell in our hearts, keep us holy within. Feed us each day with thy heavenly manna, healer of wounded hearts, thy praises we sing. Be thou exalted, thy seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted, with harp and with song. Saints in their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen. Be thou exalted, my seraphs and angels. Be thou exalted, with harp and with song. In their anthems of rapture adore thee. Thine be the glory forever. Amen.
How I pray, Lord, that thy word will be the word that thy people need even this hour, to be able to take it with them and apply it in their lives this coming week. Father, we thank thee that thy mercies are new every day, and we come to thee, Lord, and plead thy mercies over this time now. Help us, Lord. Help us to see Christ tonight. Help us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 10 records a very special moment here in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a man who we call Bartimaeus. He was a blind man, and it was the time of the Passover season. And therefore, because it was Passover, there were great crowds gathering, making their way to Jerusalem. And all the multitudes coming from Galilee and that region would pass through the city Jericho. And Jesus had entered the city with a multitude, with a crowd of people. And as he spent some time there in Jericho, he would leave with even a larger crowd. And this created a scene of great excitement and expectation. Can you imagine? Here are great crowds following the Lord Jesus Christ. The noise, the excitement, the expectation was building. And on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, Christ hears a blind beggar shout, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him, that is, in the crowd, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Here is a man in a condition of fullness of suffering. He was blind and he was beggarly. And blind Bartimaeus can teach us much about overcoming obstacles to Christ. This man had no money. This man had no sight. This man had no power. This man had no strength. And yet what we learn from this passage is here is a man who overcomes all of these obstacles that he had to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first obstacle we observe is that Bartimaeus had to overcome blindness. And the day came in the life of Bartimaeus when he heard a large crowd passing by. And I'm sure before in his life he heard many crowds pass by. But this was a special time. This was a special event. This was an opportunity knocking for this man to receive alms. But then he realized that who was coming his way was no ordinary person. Who was coming to Bartimaeus was Jesus Christ. And the crowds were following Christ. And when he heard and knew and realized who was coming his way, Jesus, he cried even louder. But can you imagine the resistance? Can you imagine the noise that was taking place at this time? There were multitudes of people walking with Jesus. It must have been very loud and noisy. And Bartimaeus cried out. And he didn't let the noise deter him or to stop him from crying out even louder. Have mercy on me. Now when the cry went forth, what was he crying for regarding mercy? Was he asking the Lord to give him money? Was he asking the Lord to come and help him with his infirmity, with his disability? We find out what he really wanted later on in the story. Let me ask you this tonight. Have you ever cried out like this to the Lord for mercy? Have you ever cried out to the Lord for help? Have you ever been in a situation when you don't know what to do? When things are overwhelming and it doesn't seem like anyone's listening and you just cry out to the Lord and you say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And this is the example that we have here in blind Bartimaeus. He didn't allow his blindness to overcome him. He didn't allow his blindness to silence him. See, he could have been one who thought this way. I'm a blind man. There's no sense in crying out to the Lord. He won't see me. He won't hear me. There are multitudes of people around. If I cry out, no one's going to hear me. No one's going to come and help me. Oftentimes we find ourselves in a state of blindness. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn at times. We don't have the answers. We don't have the solutions. And all we can do is cry out to the Lord for help. It's the Lord, help me, have mercy upon me. He didn't allow his disability to be an obstacle in getting to Christ. So he overcame his blindness. What else did Bartimaeus overcome? Well, Bartimaeus had to overcome the size of the crowd. You could say that Bartimaeus was literally lost. Always there, but invisible to many. He couldn't see where Jesus was in the crowd. For all he knew, Jesus could have already passed. But this was an opportunity for Bartimaeus, and he wouldn't let it pass, would he? He didn't have any fear of man, did he? He didn't fear what men thought or did or said. He just said, I need the Lord. And oh, how we can learn from this, how the fear of man oftentimes can paralyze our getting to Christ. How the fear of what people think and what they say and their opinion of us can cause us to not seek the Lord. But this wasn't the case of Bartimaeus. He sought the Lord. He was actually louder than the crowd. And what he wanted was he wanted Christ. And the Lord heard him. But it was the constant, incessant cry. It wasn't the first time. It might have not been the second time. He kept crying. See, he didn't stop. And he didn't allow the crowd to stop him. He was determined to get to Christ. What an example of a man overcoming these situations, these circumstances in his life. Bartimaeus did what was required to overcome his obstacles. Well, he gathered some information. He gathered the information that who was passing by? It was Christ. And he also cried out loud enough to be heard over the crowd. He didn't care. He said, I've got to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your desire tonight? When no one else notices or cares, that's the time when we need to cry out to Jesus. Bartimaeus was in that situation. No one else noticed him. No one, now they did, but in a negative sense. No one else was there to help him. No one else seemed to care. No one else seemed to take the time to see what the need of Bartimaeus was. It was only Jesus that took the time. And that's when we as God's people, when we are going through storms, when we are going through difficulties in life, when it seems like no one cares, no one is taking notice, we need to go to the Lord. And we see that the Lord does take notice. The Lord does see us. And the Lord comes to us. And He helps us when no one else can. Now, there was a common belief during this time that someone who was in the condition of Bartimaeus, blind and beggarly, was a wicked person. People believed that if a person was in this condition, they must have done something wicked. And this is a theory called the theory of retribution. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9, verse 2. His disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ this question. He said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" See, that's the theory of retribution. They're saying that this man's blind, therefore he must have done something wicked, or maybe perhaps his parents did something wicked. And the Lord Jesus Christ answers his disciples and says, "Neither one." This is a condition where this is an opportunity for the Lord to work His glory in the life of a man who's undeserving of grace, undeserving of love. This man is not in this blind and beggarly because he's a wicked person in the sense that he's done something wicked and therefore the Lord's punishing him. But he's in this situation, you could say, because of sin, because of the curse. Men are blind, men are beggarly, men are have disease, men are sick because of the curse that Adam brought to this world. And it's only God's mercy, it's only in Christ that He reverses that curse. It's only in Christ that He comes and shows that grace is greater than all of our sin. And here's a man who had to overcome this social stigma that society was putting upon him. Thus, Bartimaeus would have been looked down upon and disrespected. And he was ridiculed. And they viewed him as unworthy to speak to the Lord Jesus. Because he was blind, because he was a beggar, he was unworthy. And Bartimaeus would be the first one to admit that he was probably unworthy, that he knew that he was unworthy. But he cried out even more. Maybe you're here today and you feel that you're unworthy to come before the Lord. And in a sense, you are unworthy. But don't let that stop you from going to Christ. Christ will receive the sinner. Christ will receive the most unlovely, the one who is given over and realizes his sinfulness and has nowhere to go. He says to the sinner, "Come to me. Come to me." And you can see how this man, Bartimaeus, is being drawn to the Lord, even despite his condition, even despite the prejudice against him by the crowd. And the people basically said to Bartimaeus, "Don't bother the Lord. Your problem isn't that important. He's not going to waste His time on you." Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't waste His time on anyone. He comes in His grace and mercy. He saves sinners. Bartimaeus is a picture of every one of us. Blind, beggarly. And he cries out to the Lord for mercy, and the Lord receives him. The Lord changes him. The Lord does a miracle in his heart. So the crowd didn't stop Bartimaeus. I like what Matthew Henry says about this situation. "Those that have spiritual eyesight see that beauty in Christ that will effectually draw them to run after Him." Bartimaeus couldn't see Christ with his eyes, but Christ, he could see by faith that he needed the Lord. And there was a beauty in the Lord. He was going after that beauty. He was going after that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, too, we must overcome the social pressures of this world, the stigma that the society puts on us for following Christ, the persecutions that we have to endure verbally by people who think we're too close to the Lord. And Bartimaeus didn't care. He went after the Lord and he got what he was looking for, Christ. And then fourthly, Bartimaeus had to overcome economic hardship. He had no money, or very little perhaps, maybe some of the money that he had received that day from some of the people, but what could he give the Lord? He was impoverished. The only thing that he really had of worth any value was his cloak. You could say that his cloak was perhaps the most valuable thing he owned. And it's interesting that in the scripture there were special laws to protect the cloak of a poor man. Listen to what Exodus says regarding the cloak of a poor man. Exodus 22, verses 26 and 27. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. What's that text saying? He's saying that if a poor man owes you something, take his cloak, but make sure you give it back to him because that's his most precious possession. That could be the difference between life and death for a poor man. Taking away a man's only cloak could kill him by exposure on a cold night. And what we see here is Bartimaeus, he left his cloak and went to Jesus when called. And what does that say about Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus, he's not a rich man, he's a poor man, he's a beggar, but he's parting with the most precious thing that he has, his cloak. And he leaves it there. Remember, there are people everywhere. And there's no guarantee that a robber might take his cloak and steal it. And if he didn't have the cloak when he returned, then he might even jeopardize his life by freezing to death. This was a real act of faith that Bartimaeus was showing by leaving his cloak behind and going to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what this is a picture of? This is a picture of a sinner putting away his filthy rags of sin, leaving behind the garments of unrighteousness and going to Jesus Christ for the garments of righteousness. Going to the one who could clothe him with righteousness that is perfect, that will be acceptable before God on the day of judgment. Maybe you're here today and you still you're still wearing your cloaks of sin. You still are dressed in your filthy rags. You need to put them off. You need to take them and remove them. And you need to go to Jesus Christ in order to be robed in the righteousness of Him. You need that righteousness to enter heaven. And this is a picture of a man who is taking his sin and leaving it behind, going after the Lord. I like what Albert Barnes writes in his commentary. He says, casting away his garment, that is his outer garment, the one that was thrown loosely over him, he threw it off, full of joy at the prospect of being healed, and that he might run without impediment to Jesus. And this may be used to illustrate, though it had no such original reference, the manner in which a sinner should come to Jesus. He should throw away the garments of his own righteousness. He should rise speedily, should run with joy, should have full faith in the rower of Jesus, in the power of Christ, and cast himself entirely upon His mercy. What a picture we have here for us to take to the Lord. Maybe you're here today, you need to get rid of your filthy, sinful ways and go to Christ for forgiveness. Be cleansed in His precious blood, robed in His righteousness. And what was the result when the Lord met with Bartimaeus? Well, Bartimaeus followed Christ. He followed Christ after Christ restored his sight to him. Who could blame Bartimaeus if he took off home to rejoice with his family after what the Lord Jesus Christ had done? You think about having his sight restored now would improve every aspect of his life. Now he could go and find a job. Now he could provide for himself. Now he could go to different places. Now he had liberty, freedom. He had all these things now that he never had before. And what does he do with them? He goes and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't use this miracle that was done to him for his own benefit, for his own promotion, for his own welfare. But he uses what Christ did in his life to follow after him, to serve him. And that's the whole purpose of salvation. That's the whole purpose of being saved by the blood of Christ, is for us to serve Him, to follow Him. This is what Bartimaeus did. He didn't go back home. He didn't go out and tell others. He just was so overwhelmed with what Christ did for him. He pledged himself to the Lord and he followed after him. We don't ever hear of Bartimaeus after this story. But I think as an optimist, I think Bartimaeus went on to do great things for the Lord. And he lived a life of gratitude for the Lord because of what he had done for him. And that's how we are to respond to being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. A life of service, a life of gratitude, a life of joy following the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole point here, I think, that we need to take from this is that Bartimaeus did not overcome all these obstacles in his own strength. But it was the power of the Lord working in this man. You could see this man being drawn to Christ, and you can see Christ being drawn to this man. And that's what happens in salvation. The sinner is drawn to Christ, and Christ is drawn to the sinner. And there's nothing that can keep that from happening. Not the crowd, not the blindness, not the poverty. Nothing could keep Bartimaeus and Christ from coming together for this miracle that would take place in his life. What love, what power, what grace we see in the life of Bartimaeus. So maybe you're here this evening and you have obstacles in your life. What's keeping you from Christ? What's keeping you from Christ? Is it something of the world? Is it a secret lust? Is it a pleasure that has taken the place in your heart where it's become an idol in your heart? It's all you think about. It's all you want to do. What keeps you from Christ? What is the obstacle between you and the Lord? See, when Christ saved Bartimaeus, the obstacles went away, and Christ and Bartimaeus now were one. They had become in union. Oh, that we might pray to God that the Lord might remove all the obstacles that we have in our lives, that we might get to Christ. God, give us that urgency. Give us that resilience. Give us that fear of God rather than the fear of man that Bartimaeus possessed. God, help us to do this for His glory.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. I am Ron Barnes, pastor of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart area of Prince George. I warmly invite you to visit the church. We have Sunday school for children, young people, and adults beginning at 10 a.m. Our morning services start at 11 a.m. The church address is 4020 Balsam Road, Prince George, British Columbia, V2K1Z9. Our phone number is 250-962-8232. You can listen to other messages preached by Pastor Barnes on www.sermonaudio.com. Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak. May the Lord richly bless you.
Be Thou exalted forever and ever, God of eternity, the Ancient of Days. Wondrous in majesty, so mighty in wisdom, perfect in holiness and worthy of praise. Thou exalted, Thy seraphs and angels.